Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Corey, new building, number two. Family Church, Corey, new building, number two. Praise the Lord. Number two, service number two. Praise God. Well, it's going to be good. It was good last week. It's been good right along. Amen. It's been good for the past 6 months or so that we were more than, well, almost, we're working on a year now. 9 months. Yeah. Praise the Lord that we've been here and we're looking forward to all that God has. He's been doing wonderful things wherever the word is preached. Amen. And we know that Corey is no exception. Praise God. We've been here, you know, we've been brought here by divine appointment. So if you're here tonight, I believe God's brought you here by divine appointment, and you might as well just hook up and receive what God has got for you, amen, because he's got something for you, amen. We know this, that the Lord never gives us the idea of having a service without an intent and a purpose for that service, amen. And so I want to get, when I go to church, I want to get everything that I possibly can out of that. I want to receive everything the Lord has for me. You know, one thing that I was taught in the family churches, and I'm just so thankful for it, was I was taught about how the word actually changes lives. I wasn't just told it and then never proven it, but I was shown how it actually changed lives. And many of you don't know me, but the past that I came out of heavy drug use. I came out of living in the world hard, fornication, all kind of living, extreme depression. I've been hospitalized many times in my younger years, you know, for depression and things like that, suicide attempts and all those things. I lived a really hard life. But, you know, the Lord got to me, amen? The Lord was able to get to me through the word, and it was through the preaching of the uncompromised word of God that enabled me to get there. It was from sitting in church in a place where they wouldn't sugarcoat things, where they wouldn't where they wouldn't hide the word, but they would preach the truth to me. Amen. And these messages that I have for these 2 weeks, starting last week we started it. And if you weren't here last week, don't get mad. You just get online and find last week's. If you go to our website, praise the Lord, you can find last week's sermon on there, and you can listen to it if you want to get caught up. But you know, the message that I'm preaching, it's a little bit of a series, and it's called The Truth About Love. Amen. So this is The Truth About Love Part 2. Praise the Lord. And one of the things that what we started on last week is we started talking about how the word is truth, that God is truth, amen, and that the devil is a liar, and that anything that's not of the truth or of the word, it's not true, and it's therefore a lie, amen. And so what we do is we endeavor in all things to follow the word of God. The word of God is our platform, amen. That's our foundation. That's everything that we build on. You know, Jesus told us that if we build on the right rock, which is him, but we also know that Jesus was the word, so if we build on that rock, praise the Lord, that we will have a firm footing, and then when the storms of life blow, we'll be able to stand strong. And I'm so thankful for that, because it was that changed my life. It was the word getting put into me, amen. Now, unlike my wife, I was a Christian most of my life. I was raised in a church, praise the Lord, and I'm not against any other churches. I'm not against the church that I was raised in, but I'll just tell you this, we weren't taught a whole lot about word. You can't get a whole lot about the word in a 10-minute sermon, praise the Lord. You can't get a whole lot about the word in a 15-minute sermon. Sometimes you need it put in you, amen? And that's why we preach for 2 or 3 hours in the family churches, praise the Lord. So if this is your first time here, welcome here. We'll have a brief intermission about an hour and a half in, and then from there we'll go, keep going. That's just a joke, praise God. We can smile in church, we can laugh in church, and we need to, amen? Because all too often, Christians are looking like, they're been sucking on lemons. And God hasn't intended us, you know, and the Bible says that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, the fullness of joy, amen. Now, I've experienced a lot of joy in my life, and I have to say, in certain times, I've experienced God's fullness of joy, amen. But I want to experience that all the time, praise the Lord. So why don't you turn with me? We're going to start in John 17:17, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. I love the word. I love the word. I love the word. You'll hear us say that a lot. If you come back and you hear us again and again, you're going to hear us say one thing often, and that's that we love the word. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Amen. Sanctify means to cleanse. It means to clean. And that's something that we have to understand, is that that sanctification is something that we needed. Sanctification, or the lack thereof, is the reason why we needed Jesus. Because without that, we were dirty. We were dirty in sin. We were dirty, you know, and this message isn't about sin as much as it's about truth. Hallelujah. And of course, we always have to talk a little bit about that. But we understand that the sanctification that Jesus paid for, with his word, with his blood, with his body, amen. That's what cleanses us. And that, and the Bible says, Jesus said there, that we get sanctified by the truth of the word, amen. You know, the truth about love is this, that the truth be told. Because the truth, love, true love always tells the truth, whether it's something you want to hear or not. True love always goes to the truth, whether it's something that feels good or not. Amen. And one of the things that we have in the society nowadays is we have a whole lot of people that want to act in love, because that's what they say love is, and they want to throw out the truth because the truth doesn't seem like love, because it doesn't make them feel good. But listen, just feeling good is not what God died for. It's not what Jesus died for. Now, he did die because he wants you to feel good. God is good with you feeling good. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you don't think that God wants you to feel good, will you stick around here long enough, and we're going to teach you how, we'll teach you how God does want you to. But see, the truth is that it's not just about feeling good. It's about being redeemed. It's about being in the kingdom of God. It's about finding God's plan for your life. It's about operating in the things of God. It's about learning his truths. Amen. But so many people throw out the truths. And you know, one of the problems with the church today is that the world has gotten so much into the church that it's hard to tell the difference of where you're at. Some churches you can go to and you can't tell if it's a difference of a nightclub or if it's the church of God. And there should be a difference. The Bible said, the Bible says to come out from among them and be separate. We are to be separate from the world. That doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the things of the world. That can't mean that we can't have a nice house or a nice car, or we can't go out to McDonald's or a nice dinner, praise the Lord, or we can't do things that are enjoyable, praise the Lord. God gave us all things richly to enjoy, amen? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's pretty exciting to me. It's exciting me to know that God wants me blessed. Amen. But it's not all about that. And see, we're going to learn more about that today, how important the truth is. Hallelujah. I had this written down in my notes. Sanctification is an act of love, God's love. Sanctification is what Jesus did for us. See, we couldn't be clean on our own. We couldn't do things on our own. You know, but the thing is that God intends us to learn how to take that upon us and to be cleansed. Amen? Because if the church is just going to live like the world, then you're not coming out and being separate. You're being just like the world is. That's why we don't have church just the way that the world wants to have it. That's why we don't have all the, you know, anything. We endeavor to follow the Spirit of God for how he wants us to set up a church. And then we don't just pop up and come to a town and say, hey, we're going to put up a church here, praise the Lord. No, it comes through prayer. It comes from seeking God. And then when you follow God's plan, that there's a purpose and the plan gets established. And as you follow that plan, it always works out. I said it always works out. God's plan never fails. Only people fail, amen? But people who are sanctified, people who continually walk in that place of being sanctified with God, they walk that out and they find out what God has for them, amen? That's when they see their lives change. We can't change our lives separate from the Word. See, so many people are throwing out the Word, or they're giving people just such little bits of Word that they can't have the change happen because they don't know what to live on. You know, there's so many things. I hear Christians, as I hear Christian songs, and I'm not against Christian songs or Christians or anything like that, but as I hear these things, I hear so many times, I hear how people have it wrong. And even in our camp, in the people that believe the same way we do, like what we like to call the word of faith, praise the Lord, where we teach about faith because faith pleases God, and we know without faith it's impossible to please God. So what do? We want to please God. We want to learn about having faith. But even still, we still have some sometimes because we've had these things drilled into us years that God wants us sick. He wants us poor. He wants us defeated. He wants, oh, God's given you this for a purpose. God doesn't give us trial. One of the most popular sayings that I love to hate, amen, is that God did this for a reason. God gave you, everything happens for a reason. And what they've done is they've taken a scripture out of context and they say things that aren't true. Yeah, everything happens for a reason. I mean, that's a pretty basic statement. Everything happens for some reason. But just because it happens for some reason doesn't mean that God ordained it. Just because it happens, and this is the truth, praise the Lord. We see this all through Scripture. We see a lot of things happen in Scripture that God didn't want to happen. Amen? The Bible tells us that it's God's will that all men come to repentance and get saved and go to heaven. But what do we know? Most men won't. We talk about mankind when we say men, you know. Women, you're included in that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we understand that. So we need the truth of the word. We need the truth preached to us. We need it taught to us. And we're going to see that here today. Turn with me to 1 John 4. Praise God. 1 John 4. That's all the way towards the back of your Bible if you don't know. 1 John is the second set of Johns. Isn't that weird? 1 John, the second set of John. Well, there's the John, which has no number, and then 1 John, praise the Lord. So 1 John 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, 1 through 9. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Glory to God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. See, this is what people don't do. A lot of people have gotten so far away from the word that they don't even understand what they wouldn't understand. They wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he came doing cartwheels down the middle of the aisle wearing a purple cape. A lot of people wouldn't know what the Holy Spirit is. They wouldn't understand what these things are. They think that anything that they think has just got to be God. And then Jesus warned us about that. The Bible warns us about that. You know, Paul said to cast down everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So everything that isn't in the Word, we have to cast that down. But so many Christians receive it because they don't know that. They don't know that they got to test the spirits. But test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Amen? Now, this was happening then, but it's also happening now. There's many false prophets or people out there that are preaching all kinds of things that aren't scriptural. Praise God. The Bible says by the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing will be established. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing will be established. You cannot come up with your own ideas of what God wants by just coming up with them on your own. You have to find two or three witnesses, and that first and foremost is the Word of God. Amen. He's always going to teach us through the Word of God. That's why when we do this or that, we try to do them according to the Word of God. I'll give you an example. Baptizing is one of the ones that we're a church that baptizes. Praise the Lord. We have a baptism in Mayville. We do it once a year. Praise God. We do it in Chautauqua Lake. But when we baptize the way the Word of God says to baptize. We don't sprinkle with, and I say if you've been sprinkled, amen, glory to God, it was your heart, you know. But we do it according to the Word of God because the Word says that it's symbolic of being buried and then being raised again, amen. That's what baptism is for. That's the purpose of it. That's one baptism. And we know that there's many baptisms, and we also practice that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which includes the speaking of speaking in tongues, amen. That's something that is for every Christian. There's different operations of it, and we're not going to teach on that today, but there's different operations of it. There's things to understand about it, but that's an important part that Jesus left us with. Jesus, if you read in John, especially 14, 15, and 16, talks all about it. The end of Mark, but it's part of the Great Commission. Jesus said it. Amen. And then Jesus told the disciples to do it in the beginning of Acts, and then all through Acts we see it. Praise God. And then Paul talks about it. Amen. And so we see that it's all through Scripture. Amen. So these aren't things that we just pull out and just make up on our own, but we base these things on Scripture. Amen. But we understand that there's many false prophets. Whether we have to test the spirits. And see, sometimes people don't even know what the Spirit is. I mean, you can have a spirit manifest in front of you so you could see it. Like some people have seen demons or something like that, or seen angels. We know that that's scriptural as well. Praise the Lord. But you know, sometimes the Spirit comes sly-like, amen? They come in just a thought. You know, the Bible says, cast down imaginations, which are thoughts in your head. It'll come as a thought, oh, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to receive God. You're not good enough to go to church today. You've been too bad this week or something, like all these different lies. And if we allow those lies to sink in, that's how Christians go astray. See, we're going to see this here, amen? Praise the Lord. As many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Okay, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, this is something that we have to understand, because you can say, okay, you can say with your mouth that Jesus has come in the flesh and still not be of God. Why? Because that's not what this is talking about. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." That's what the Bible says. It says that they must believe that he is. Okay, and we understand, and we're not going to go into this teaching today, but we understand that meaning he is just doesn't mean that he exists, but he is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does. Amen? So that's the same thing that the Bible is talking about here. It's not just saying that it confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, but is the Jesus that he says he was, the Jesus that did what he did, and the things he left us with is what he left us with. It's still good today. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Amen? He who is in you. This is another thing that we have to understand. You know, a lot of people love to say, they love these statements, and I might make you mad, and if I do, well, I apologize, but not really, praise the Lord, because I'm going to tell you the truth, amen? A lot of people like to say that God's always in control, but we know according to Scripture that God doesn't control everything. God is not some wacky puppet master up there in heaven making everything happen. He is not bombing cities and making car crashes happen and making natural disasters come down on people and stuff like that. That's not how God rolls. But we know the Bible says that Satan is the Lord of this world. Amen. And here we see that again. He says, praise the Lord. Where was I? Oh yeah. Greater is he who is in you, or he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in the world is the devil. It's the one who works against us. He's the one who comes against it, attacks God's people. Praise the Lord. That's who he is. But John was trying to encourage us here by saying greater is Christ who's in you. But see, a lot of Christians, they don't realize that greater is he that's in me. They think that the one that's in the world is greater. They think the opposition is greater. They think the things that come at them is greater. And then the way that they deal with it is they just say, well, it must be God's will. No, God's will is not automatic. God's will, I'm going to say this again, God's will is not automatic. It never has been, and it never will be. Why? Because that's not how God operates. When we go back to the Old Testament, we see the Israelites, when they were brought out of Egypt, it was God's will. He said, there's a promised land. It's yours. Go take it. He said, you got to do something about it. He said, go out and spy it and just see that it's good and then come back here. And they did just that. They went out and spied the promised land. But what did they do when they came back? They said, we can't do this. He said, take it. They said, we can't. They went against the word of God. And he said, because you went against my word, now you're not going to have the thing that I provided for you. And he said, you shall not enter my promised land. See, that if God's will was for them to just have it and his will was automatic, they would have just had it. Had it, wouldn't they have? Praise the Lord. Well, the same thing, you go right down through the ages and you see all kinds of different examples of this. Praise the Lord. And we're not going to talk about them all today. Amen. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them. This is, now that we're still talking about the false prophets here, and this is what we have to understand. When you come to listen to the word of God being preached, which is important, because Jesus set it up that way. But when you come to hear the word being preached, You have to discern what the person is saying and if what they're saying is of God or if it's of the devil. Why? Because there's many false prophets that are out in the world. They are of the world. They speak like the world. Amen. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. You know why the world doesn't like the things in the church? Do you know why the world gets mad at us when we talk about Jesus? When we talk about salvation? When we talk about God and the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ? You know why? Because they're of the world. They don't like to hear that. And so they reject it. Amen? But there's a lot of people in the church that are rejecting the word of God because they want what's in the world. See, if you want life catered just around you, then you're not going to like a church that teaches the truth, because the truth is not about being catered to us. The truth is about catering to God. It's about living a life for God. And then our lives change, and He will bless us, and we'll have a good life. And the blessing of God is real. Amen. I'm here to tell you, God wants good things for your life. He wants great things in your life. He wants you to be full. But it can't get there apart from the plan of God. It can't get there when you reject God. And so there's so many people out there, they're not being taught the truth. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting God in the pulpits. They're rejecting God in church seats. They're doing all kinds of things that they want to do and not following the Spirit of God. And then they wonder why there's no change. Amen? You know, we mentioned this before. I'll talk about this again. But God is not a church-splitting God. He is not coming into a church, because if you look into the Bible, you'll find that God hates upheaval. He hates it. He hates divisiveness in the body of Christ. He hates it when somebody, and what do you see in all these things? Well, I want things my way. I'm not getting them my way, so I'm going to go start my own church. See, that's not how the family churches were started at all. The family churches, when we plant another church, we're sent out to do it, praise the Lord, just as Jesus sent out His disciples to do it. And it's not a bitter thing when we leave. It's a glorious thing, because we're going to reach more people, amen? We're going to teach more people the truth, and that's what God wants. And I'm going to tell you something, that in this time, we know that God is coming soon. We know that we are in that time. And if you talk to just about anybody who has even an inkling of what God wants to do, you understand that we are in those times, the last days, according to Scripture. Yeah. Amen? But Jesus is coming for a glorious church. He's not coming for a weak church. He wants a church where people are standing strong on the Word of God and not fainting every time there's a trial. See, God wants you to get through a trial. I was a person who fainted at every trial before. Why? Because I didn't have the Word of God in me. I couldn't stand up under the load. And I would say the same dumb things to other people. Well, I guess God, God will never give us more than we can handle. But I don't. But see, that's not even scriptural. God ain't giving it to us. The devil's giving it to us. And we're attributing it to God. That's not God's will. Praise God. He wants us to be blessed. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give them life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Abundantly. I've never seen something that's abundant lacking. I've never seen something that's abundant, not happy, praise the Lord. And then we find out what the fruits of the Spirit are in Galatians 5:20-23, in that area, praise the Lord. We find out what the first fruits of the Spirit are: love, joy, and peace. That's what God wants us to walk in, love, joy, and peace. But you can't have peace when your life is totally a wreck all the time. God doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to live blessed, but you got to live by the Word to get there. Amen. Love tells the truth, and the Spirit. Praise God. Okay, so we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. Praise God. This is how we know it, because they hear us. They hear us. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. See, he's talking about truth. He's talking about the truth and the importance of the truth, and to watch people who don't tell the truth. He's talking about all that, and then he goes right into, you got to understand, this was not written in chapter and verse. This was written as a continuous letter. The context is still the same. So he goes from truth right to talking about love. Love tells the truth. Amen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know him, for God is love. Now, love is not having programs and doing all kinds of things and having all kinds of events, unless that's what God has you to do. That's not what it is. Some people think that just having a soup kitchen is the love of God. I'm not saying soup kitchens are bad. I'm not saying feeding the poor is bad. But I do know this, that Jesus said that when the gospel is preached, the poor don't stay poor. When the gospel is preached, the sick don't stay sick. When the truth is preached, praise God, the lame start to walk. The bound get set free. Praise the Lord. That's what the gospel is meant to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn with me to 1 Timothy 4. We're going to see some more things here. Amen? 1 Timothy 4. Man, time slips away when you just flies right by. Praise the Lord. Maybe not for you. Maybe you're saying, no, it's not flying by for me. Sitting here and praise God. 1 Timothy used to be in my Bible. Praise God. I remember because all the T's are together. That'll help you. All the T's. The Thessalonians in the New Testament. Thessalonians, Timothy's, Titus. They're all before Hebrews. There's 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Amen. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says, everybody say expressly says. You know what that means? It means the Spirit's emphasizing something. It means the Spirit says, listen up. The Spirit expressly says, hallelujah, that in the latter times. Are we in the latter times? Yes, we are. Hallelujah. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Ah, they will depart from the faith. It means they were once in the faith, they once believed. Oh, don't we see this in some of the, I'm not saying all denominations are bad, but some of the denominations have gone pretty bad, haven't they? Aren't we seeing some upheaval in denominations that are arguing about things that were always scriptural, but now they're saying, well, the world wants it this way, so maybe we need to start being more loving and accepting of everything. No, that's not what God says, speak the truth in love. Yes. Amen? The Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What are these things? Well, go on, verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Speaking lies, speaking things that aren't the truth. Speaking things that are against the word. All of a sudden, churches, once great churches that preach the word. There's these, you know, we talked last week a little bit about grace and stuff like that, what grace is. People think grace and love is just about being really nice to people and just accepting of everything. It isn't. We accept everything, everyone. There's nobody that will come through these doors. It doesn't matter how they look. It doesn't matter where they came from. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? None of that stuff matters to us. We are not trying to segregate ourselves at all. That's not what it's talking about. But we don't receive everything that comes in. We don't receive everything, that every whim of doctrine that comes in. We're not open to everything that people teach, because not everything people teach is right. You can get on TV. You can see some ministries that are doing great and preaching the word, and then you can see other ministries that are doing the very next show, and they're preaching doctrines of demons. Yeah. Amen. We have to be careful of this, because the Bible says he warns us expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith. They were once the believers. They were once Christians. They were once strong Christian churches, and they're departing from the faith, and now they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Yeah, see, we can be deceived and we can be seduced if we don't listen, if we don't stay with the truth, if we don't continue preaching the word of God, if we don't stay grounded in the word. Praise the Lord. I am a person who loves to be asked questions, because when I ask questions, I can answer them in the word. Most of the time I can. You know, any question I've had so far. And if I can, I always say, I'll get back to you. I'm not saying I know the Bible completely. I don't. I don't know everything that's written in here. I don't have a firm grasp on everything, but I have a firm grasp on the basics, amen, on how to live according to the way God says, amen. One of the things, and I've heard Christians say this garbage, I hate this stuff, but I hear Christians say this stuff. They'll say things like, well, that's how you interpret it. No, there is no interpretation. The Bible is not up for interpretation. That God didn't write, give us a book to guide our life and then make it so hard for us to understand that a baby can't look at it and understand it. That's not how he did things. God never did that. I use this example all the time. If we have a recipe, if I give you a recipe to make a cake, and you're looking at that recipe and you say, well, I interpret sugar to mean salt, so I'm going to just use salt instead of sugar, because after all, it's white, it's granular, it looks the same, praise the Lord, and that's all I got. I ain't got any sugar, so I'm going to bake the cake with 2 cups of salt instead of 2 cups of sugar. What are you going to get? You're going to get a cake that doesn't taste very good, aren't you? Why? Because sugar and salt aren't the same thing, even though they look alike, even though there's a lot of resemblance there. How about if you have a nice, you go out, you know, last year our lawnmower died, so we had to go out and buy a brand new lawnmower. Praise the Lord, got a nice new Cub Cadet lawnmower, amen, and just real nice and shiny. I was driving it home, and people were saying, hey, I even had a guy come up to me at the gas station and said, hey, that's a really nice lawnmower, amen. He started talking to me about it. I was like, yeah, and you know what I'm saying. You know, everybody, if you got a new car or anything, you know, but I got this nice Cub Cadet lawnmower and praise God. But you know, this Cub Cadet lawnmower, you have to do something with it to make it go. You got to put gas in it, right? Yeah. Now, what if I said, you know, I ain't got gas, but I got diesel. I'm going to put diesel in it. And diesel's a fuel. They come from the same place, don't they? Gas and diesel, yeah, they come from the same hole in the ground. They just process differently, right? They're a different layer or whatever. I don't know all of it. We don't need to know all of it. But the fact is that you can't take the diesel, put it in the gas engine, and expect it to work, because what will happen? You'll ruin the engine. And see, the same thing is with the Word of God. You can't take things out of context, make them what you want them to say, and then start living on them and say, well, that's how I interpret it. You can't just interpret it any way you want to. You got to interpret the way God intended you to. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And when you do, I'm getting close here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We know that God has good things for us, but we know that we access them through a process that He's given us to access them. God has not given us the Word so we can just go off on our own and make up our own way. He has not done that. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the popular things to do today is to reject churches, to reject pastors, and just throw it all out. They're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, man. They're saying, but the first thing that Jesus did is He gave us the ministry office, which includes that of a pastor. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling together of the brethren. Amen. And people are forsaking the assembling together of the brethren more now. They say, oh, I can have church in my house. No, you can't. No, you can't, because God, that's not the way God works. He gave it to you for a reason. When Jesus looked at on the people, it said that He had compassion on them because they were scattered and faint like sheep without a shepherd. Praise the Lord. There's a purpose for it. There's an anointing that comes with it. And I am not talking about hero worship, man worship, anything like that. I am not talking about building some man up and, you know, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Amen. What I'm talking about, though, is doing things the way the Bible says. See, we need the truth. You can't just go start church because you want to have a church. That's not the way that it works. God establishes a church. The Bible says, and I think it's Psalm 127:1, He says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build it. Praise the Lord. Unless the Lord builds a house. You have to have the direction from God to do it. But most people don't know how to get the direction of God. I'm talking about people in churches. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people in my own church. I'm saying we have to listen to the Word. We have to receive the Word. It's not enough to just sit there and listen. Then you got to receive it. And then once you receive the Word, you got to do something with it. That means you got to go out there and do it. Most people think to be in the ministry, it means to stand on a stage and preach at people. But that's not what the ministry is. The work of the ministry is calling all those people out there that don't know the Word, that don't know the truth of God, and to bring them into a place where they can grow and they can learn and their lives can change. Everywhere that the apostles went, everywhere that Jesus went, there was change. Everywhere that we go, there should be change. If a Christian has walked through there, praise the Lord, if there is in a town that is full of Christians that know the Word, I'm going to tell you something, the town will prosper. Why? Because God is a prospering God. He is a growing God. God is not good with falling apart, broken down, and defeated. God does not like that. He never has, and He never will. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I don't want to make you mad. I just want to teach you the truth. Praise the Lord. You know, these messages, this is my second message for the weekend. I got one more tomorrow. I preached last night. I preached tomorrow, or today, and I'll preach tomorrow. We don't just go to sermons.com and download a sermon. I don't preach in some kind of crazy succession because, well, you know, the whole family churches, you know, we have this program that we follow. So you make sure you preach this, this, and this. I seek the Lord. I spend time with God and I say, Lord, what do you need your people to hear? And He downloads the message to me, not through the internet, but through my spirit. Amen. And so I preach these things. And so I put together the messages based on that. If you know me, I've said this all along. It's a sign and wonder that I can even stand before people. Because I'm not a person who is given to public speaking. I'm not a person who... The first message I ever preached was 9 minutes long. And I struggled to get 9 minutes out of it. Amen. And I shook and I shuddered the whole time. And I looked down and I had notes and I didn't look up for my notes because, God forbid, now I don't barely ever have notes. I just get the scriptures that God give me and I run with it there. Praise the Lord. And sometimes he'll even give me stuff I never saw. Actually, all the time, every time I preach, he gives me stuff I'd never seen before when I open the Bible. I learn too. Amen. Because there's a thing that God wants to do. He wants to get us to know the truth. Because when people know the truth, that's the Bible says in John, when you abide in my word, if you live in my word, what's his word? The Bible and everything that's written therein. Hallelujah. If you abide, if you live, if you make this of the utmost importance in your life, if you live in this word, then you will be my disciples. You will be a disciple is one who has learned from him. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A Christian that lives in bondage is not a Christian who knows the word. And the first place I go is there's a couple of reasons for that. Either they're not being taught the word or they're not doing the word. One of the two things. You know, somebody said this. I think I heard Joyce Meyer say it once. Praise the Lord for Joyce Meyer. But I heard her say it once, and she said, I think it was her, she said, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a car or in a garage makes you a car. Yep. And ain't that the truth? Yep. Amen? Ain't that the truth? Because you can have people that sit in church, and they don't know the first thing about love. Amen? Have you ever been in church and been bit by somebody? Yeah. I don't mean really bit by somebody. I mean, that'd be something, wouldn't you? Because at least you could prove it then, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Sister Bucket Mouth or Brother Better Than You, they came up and they bit you real hard, amen? They leave a really nice welt and you're just like, oh, I can't stand them. They're just so nasty. They're not Christ-like. And you leave the church all offended. And you know, that's not God's intent. No. But somebody's not doing the word. Yeah. Well, actually, two people in that case aren't doing the word. The one that's biting and the one that's offended. Yeah. Why? Because the Bible says don't be offended either. Yeah. To let it go. If somebody hurts you, well, yeah, praise the Lord. They slap your foot. That's what it's talking about. It's not saying that you suffer abuse. You understand, if somebody's abusing you, then you got to leave. A household or anything like that, doesn't matter. You don't put up with abuse. That is not what Jesus was talking about. Amen? And that's not what we promote. But what he was talking about was when people are sometimes people aren't going to be perfect around you. Sometimes people are going to do things. I have people that do things wrong to me all the time because they don't know me. They don't understand me. They don't understand what I do. But I love them anyways. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You're in 1 Timothy. I'm going to take you. We're going to go almost to the opposite end of the Bible. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. So we're in 1 Timothy. Go over to 2 Timothy. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:1. Praise the Lord. And we read through verse 5. 2 Timothy, I love the word. I love the heading in my Bible right here. You know what it says? Preach the word. Hallelujah. Doesn't say hallelujah. I added that in. But it says preach the word. Preach the word. We need to preach the word. It's time that somebody stands up and starts preaching the word. If I get up here and give you 5 points in a poem, if I just sit there and say, well, I'm going to read you a real nice poem and tell you about my life a little bit and what hasn't happened in it, and that's it, and we close, and we had a bunch of whole worship songs. You know, churches will have 15-hour worship services, 15 minutes of the word, and they wonder why the people go out and live the same way. It's because the word is what changes them. The worship service doesn't. The worship service is to prepare us for the word, amen. Praise the Lord. That's why we don't go on endless worship service. Well, glory to God. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. But that's the truth. Amen. Preach the word. Preach the word. All through the word, you say, preach the word. You see things where we're told, go back to the word. Read the word. Do the word. This is the word. I am the word. Go back to the word. Listen to it again. I'll tell you again. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, I'm sending him because he's coming next. Praise the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you know what he's going to do? He's going to remind you of the word. Hallelujah. Why do you think God keep going back to the word? Because the word is what changes our lives. Amen. The word is what sets us free. It is not the program. It is not, and I am not against programs. I am not against doing things, having spaghetti dinners and doing all those things, but that's not our focus. Our focus is the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, you're getting me all riled up now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:1. Praise God. All the way on the other side of the Bible. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, praise God, preach the word. Yeah. It's got an exclamation at it. So you can't just say, preach the word. Yeah. Preach the word. You know, some people, they don't like the hooting and hollering, but that's okay. You wouldn't like Jesus either, because he wouldn't hooted and hollered. Amen. Man, praise God. Some people, you know, I'll tell you what, Jesus would be kicked out of most churches today. This is the truth. How do I know this? Because Jesus went to the temple with a whip and chased people out of it. Jesus called people vipers. He called people, he said, you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He said this to the religious people. He wasn't saying this to the poor people out on the street. He wasn't saying this to the blind beggars. He was saying this to the religious people. The same religiousness that was happening then is happening in today. Why? Because the devil is the same too. He's always got the same tricks. He didn't come up with anything new. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a little church history. 2 Timothy is not written to the 2 Timothy. It's written to Timothy, the second letter to Timothy. Amen? Timothy was a pastor of several different churches, by the way. Amen? Yeah, he was a pastor of a big church in Ephesus. He was a pastor of a church in Philippi. Praise the Lord. Maybe some other places too. But 2 Timothy is written to Timothy by Paul. Amen? And it's written to Timothy to encourage him on what to do. And what does he tell this pastor to do? He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Yeah. This is important. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Yeah. Amen. Teaching of what? He's going to give them math quizzes. He's going to tell them math problems. He's going to teach them how to do the Pythagorean theorem and stuff like that. He's going to teach them how many sides of a triangle or octagon, all this stuff. No, what the angle is of this. No, that's not what he's talking about. Teaching the word. The word, the word, the word. We have to teach the word. The word sets us free. Amen? Praise God. But it says to rebuke. Sometimes, or first it says to convince. Sometimes, you know, one of my biggest jobs is getting religion out of people. It's getting stinking thinking. I mean, one of my biggest jobs, I always say this, one of my biggest jobs is brainwashing people. I love brainwashing people. Because people come in, they'll come in with stinking thinking, and you got to wash that brain, get that thinking clean, because the thinking is wrong. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's what it means to convince. Because people come in with their own ideas. Well, I think this about God. And sometimes it's just not true. This is not God. Listen, if you're having a conversation with me, I'm sorry, that's just not true. Don't get mad at me. It's just not true. It's not true. You want the truth, right? Amen. Preach a word. Convince. Rebuke. Rebuke is to say, hey, you're wrong. Sometimes you need to be told you're wrong. Sometimes you need to shake it a little bit and say, stop, because this is heading towards trouble. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Preach a word. Convince, rebuke, exhort. That also means to lift up. And sometimes we do that too. Amen. We like exhort people. We exhort them to do right and to be filled with God and to be happy and to walk in faith. And faith is a great thing. And glory to God. And God wants you to bless with all long suffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Listen to this. This is important because this is the church today. Yeah. According to their own desires, because they have itching ears. You don't pick church based on what you want or what you like. You don't, you know, there's so many people that will leave a good Bible church because they found a job some other town. That's not God's will. Unless he expects specifically directed you that way. And if he did, he will also direct you to a new church. Yeah. You understand, God doesn't he doesn't give us things and then say, well, I'm going to rip them away and just have you be rogue and on your own. That's not, no. It's God's will that every man should, man and woman and child should sit in church and learn about God. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That means, listen, if you can't see this, you're blind. You need to, like, be able to look at this and understand the time will come, he's saying. This is why it's important to preach the word. I'm going to tell you something. The time has come, and it's come again, and it's come again, and it's come again. People will turn aside to fables because they have itching ears. That means they want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. Listen, my church would be real big if my church in Mayville, we would be a church of several hundred. I mean, probably 300 or 400 right now if we kept everybody in church that have come through the doors over the last 4 years. It's the truth. The Jamestown church that we came out of would be a church of several thousand if everybody said, but some people don't like hearing the truth. Some people don't like hearing what the word being preached. They want to hear things they want to hear. They want to have a nice 15-minute message, go home, feel like they did their God duty for the week. But that's not the way God works. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. The word of God, the kingdom of God, is meant to be lived in. You don't have a separate life. You don't have a church life and a separate life. There's no such thing. I'm not saying you spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week here. But I'm saying when you go out there, you should live the same things that you learned here. Amen? Praise God. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. And we're getting close to closing here. But there's just a few more things I want you to see. John 3:19. Flip on over there. John 3:19. We're only reading two verses here, but it's good. I said it's good. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not good because I said it's good because of the word. John 3:19 through 21. This is Jesus talking. Look at this. And this is a condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. People don't like to hear sometimes that they need to change their lives. You go to somebody who's a drug user, they don't want to hear that they have to change. But I'm going to tell you what, I've had enough experience with drug users to tell you they need to change. They don't want to hear it. You don't want, you know, people who are living in fornication and adultery, they don't want to hear they need to change. People who are stealing and lying all the time, people who are living secret lives, people who are doing things, all these things and thinking they're getting away with it, they need to change. They need to hear it. Amen. But in them, a lot of times it says this is a condemnation. The light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. He who does the truth. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, when the word is preached and you're living after the word, it doesn't bother you.
That's right.
Because you're living after it, because you're living in the light. Amen? And you know, the word isn't to drive people out, isn't to make people feel bad. It's to build people up. It's to bring them up. Preach the word. Preach the word. We need to be people who are taught the word. Why? So when you go out there in the world, you can preach the word. Because there's people that your lives are connected to that won't ever know Jesus unless you show them what Jesus is. But we have to know who Jesus is to show them. Why? I can't teach people Jesus if I don't know Jesus. Amen? And there's a lot of people that are teaching Jesus is just isn't Jesus. They're talking about the God that gives and takes away. They're talking about the God who wants to destroy you, the God who took your loved ones from you, the God who caused airplanes to fall out of the sky and into buildings and stuff like that, the God who causes wars and stuff like that. That's not the God of the Bible. Now, you understand, there's different, we can't get all that today. I understand that there was wars back in the day, but there's different reasons for that, and that wasn't God's end, that was on people's end, amen? Well, praise God. We're going to close with this. John 14:15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is written to the God. He wrote this to his people. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do. Another place he said, don't say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say. He said this. Jesus said this. You know, I at some point, maybe I'll share it, but I had an experience. And it was founded in a scripture. And that scripture is in Matthew. And it talks about, Jesus said that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done many miracles and wonders in your names? And he'll say, depart from me, I didn't know you. These are people who thought they were okay. Why? Because they're lost. They never received the truth of the word. About Jesus talked about the different kinds of ground and how there's all kinds of different kinds of ground and the people are the ground. That some people are only one third out of all the ground that hear the word ever produced anything. Praise God. He's given us his word so we can be fruit producers, so we can live these lives that people want to look at us. And this is what I'm going to close with, just so you know. God did things in us so we could be those people that when other people out there see us, they need to say, they need to be looking at us saying, I want what they got. I want to be who they are. I want to experience what they're experiencing. I want to know what they're... How are they in peace all the time? How come they're set free all the time? How come they can do the things that they want to do? See, that's what we need. We need to be showing the world who Christ is, but we can't do it without the truth. We can't do it unless we have the truth abiding in us, unless we live in the truth. Amen? And we can't get that if we're not receiving it. Amen?